Judge Roy Moore is our topic during this portion of Vocal Point. I'm going to timestamp this discussion. This is taking place on Tuesday afternoon during the 4 o'clock Eastern time on November 21st in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Michael Brown, as in Ask Dr. Michael Brown. Okay, Dr. Brown, you wrote in a recent column, in fact, I think the date is posted this very day, quote, "From day one, I have made my views clear on Judge Roy Moore. I hope that he is innocent of the charges brought against him and would love to see him serve as Alabama's next senator. But if the charges are true, not only did he sin 40 years ago, but he is compounding that sin today by lying about the past, in which case he must drop out. So my appeal here to Gloria Allred is not based on a blindly partisan position. Rather, it is based on the pursuit of truth." Okay, set this up for us. What are you appealing to Gloria Allred for?
All right, thus far there have been a number of women that have accused Roy Moore of abusive behavior or improper behavior when he was in his early 30s. Some as young as 14 say he tried to force himself on them. Another accuser, similar charges when she was 15 years old. And one of the accusers has brought forth physical evidence of a yearbook allegedly signed by Roy Moore when she was a waitress at a restaurant. He allegedly came in there every night and one night tried to force himself on her alone in his car. And this accuser, Beverly Young Nelson, brought this accusation, put forth by Gloria Allred, and here you have a yearbook. And Judge Moore said, "I never met the woman. I have no idea who she is. I don't even know where that restaurant is. What are you talking about?" "Well, you signed the yearbook." "Well," he said, "it's a forgery. Never signed it." So you actually have physical evidence that can be examined. Now, it doesn't mean that the rest of the accusation is false. But since a former boyfriend of this woman has been a missionary in Thailand for many years, doesn't believe her story, and he was dating her at that time, her own son-in-law doesn't believe her story, he doesn't believe the story. And then you now have other waitresses who work there saying, "We don't believe her story either. And we never saw Roy Moore in there. If he was allegedly in there every night, we never saw him." You have all these questions being raised. Well, bring forth the yearbook. Judge Moore, they've requested it legally. They've done what they can to get it. Thus far, Gloria Allred is not willing to give it out. She said, "Well, if a Senate committee would look into charges again," well, it's not in the Senate. The Senate committee is not going to do it. So she's not going to turn it over to them. That's not going to happen. So if you have evidence, if it's not a forgery, then bring it forward. Not only will it help establish the credibility of your witness, it will help establish that Roy Moore is lying. Not only so, if this witness can be discredited, it doesn't necessarily discredit the others, but it makes you wonder if one is lying, maybe more are lying, especially when so many testify on his behalf and he so adamantly denies this. And you wonder, okay, if this was your behavior 40 years ago, how come it's not been your behavior ever since? These are not the kind of things you necessarily outgrow. So if she can be discredited, it makes the others look bad as well. So for the sake of those bringing accusations, for the sake of Judge Moore, for the sake of the people of Alabama, she really needs to turn the notebook over, the yearbook over, for forensic investigation.
Boy, you know, I'll tell you something. And by the way, if you could get closer to your microphone or something so we could hear you a little better. This story, though, is very troubling to me. I know Roy Moore personally, or have, you know, since 1995 off and on, just, you know, mainly going to him and interviewing him on television about his stance in behalf of the Ten Commandments. I was there when the monument was installed in 2001, for which he ended up ultimately losing that position. I interviewed him recently about his recent loss of being the Chief Justice for the second time. And he seems to be a man of integrity. The story surprised me along the lines of, Supposedly, here was a man in his early 30s, and he seemed to be on the prowl. But there seemed to be so many women coming forward. Now, I will say this. The story, certainly of this lady with the yearbook, okay? This lady, if what she says is true, then, if, you know, that was criminal behavior. Also, the one who was 14 at the time who claimed that he tried to seduce her. That, too, was criminal and very reprehensible. So I think we need to almost put on one level the stories and the accusations that he, as a man in his early 30s, was trying to date girls that were in their late teens versus these two stories where there was an actual attempt at, you know, seduction and so forth. So, in other words, to me, there's a big difference. I mean, you might say there's a yuck factor in the first one, you know, wow, 30s, you know, guy in his 30s dating somebody in their late teens. But, you know, didn't somebody point it out to me the other day? Hey, Prince Charles was, you know, not a young spring chicken when he married a late teenager in Lady Di. Of course, that didn't work out too well either, but that's another story.
It would seem odd to me if a man in his early 30s wanted to date one of my daughters when they were late teenagers, or say our oldest granddaughter is 16, let's say 2-3 years from now, that would seem odd. But if he did it under supervision of others, that people said, yeah, you can have this relationship, and everyone knew it was out in the open and there was no sexual conduct of any kind, that would seem odd to me, and even, yeah, icky. But I wouldn't disqualify someone for that 40 years later and say you're not fit to be in office. But a couple of the charges, two in particular, they are prosecutable criminal offenses he's being charged with. So either he's guilty and he needs to step down and he needs to come clean and admit the truth, because he's not only guilty of sin back then, but he's lying about it now. Or these women are guilty of a criminally prosecutable case against him by bringing false charges of a serious nature to defame. So the one piece of physical evidence versus he said, she said, because you have eyewitnesses and people knew him back then, no, this is true, no, this isn't true, no, this never happened, etc. The one piece of evidence is the yearbook, and there's the questionable signature, because it says Roy Moore, D.A., and he said he wouldn't sign D.A. because he wasn't district attorney. However, D.A., that's what his assistant would sign. She'd put her initials in. If she stamped his signature, she'd stamp it and then comma and then her initials, D.A., for her first and last name. Well, that's how Roy Moore's signature on the divorce certificate of this accuser is printed. There is his stamp signature followed by D.A. If it was a forgery, it would mean someone forged it from that, which is really serious. So the thing is so outlandish. The charge is so large. The stakes so high. If you have the truth, I mean, I know what I would do. If I had the truth, if I had evidence, I would bring it into the light for all the world to see.
Mm. You know, this is a very scary and precarious situation. And it's strange, too, because, you know, I have a conservative friend where I tried to defend Roy Moore to my friend, and he's like, oh, well, you big hypocrite, you were condemning Bill Clinton, you know, when Bill Clinton was you know, accused of all these different things. But it's like, well, yeah, but with Kathleen Willey, Pauline Jones, I mean, Paula Jones, you just look at all the whole litany. I mean, if it weren't for that dress, Monica Lewinsky, you know, her case wouldn't have been proven necessarily.
Yeah, so here's the question. I think we have to ask ourselves, are we using the same standards for everyone? In other words, the people that say, oh, you're just defending Roy Moore. You're defending a pedophile? What do you, I thought you were moral, ethical people. We say, well, we just don't know he's guilty. It doesn't look good, but there are a lot of questions that we have. And I've asked people, how would you react if you're a liberal Democrat, if Fox News and Rush Limbaugh came out with an expose of the sexual scandals of Barack Obama? What would the first reaction of a liberal, hardcore liberal be? Oh, come on, that's Fox. That's Rush. We can't believe them. Well, that's how a lot of people feel about the Washington Post that launched the story. Mm-hmm. People remember what happened with Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas. And,
yeah.
So I think we just need to be fair, treat everyone with the same standard, the same presumption of innocence until there's a preponderance of evidence against. And in the case of Roy Moore, we really have to pray because the stakes are high. The elections are less than a month off now. And if something can come forward to either discredit the accusers or to discredit Moore in a tangible way, that's really important for our nation right now.
One of the things that that I saw that was kind of troublesome to my spirit, and I just want to ask you about it, it seemed as if there were different people from that era, from the Gadsden Mall, that were claiming that, you know, Roy Moore would walk around the mall very often, and he would be seeking teenage girls. Now, you know, it's not necessarily criminal per se, but it doesn't seem to fit the, you know, Mr. Ten Commandments, you know, that I know. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe what this boils down to is maybe he went through a period where he wasn't as committed to the Lord as he later on turned out to be. And, you know, America is a very forgiving nation, you know, and even just to come clean on that kind of thing. But in the meantime, he has insisted that he never did anything wrong, and certainly nothing, anything criminal.
Yeah, again, things don't look good with so many that have testified against him. But then you have others, mall managers. So what are you talking about? He was never banned. That's not true at all. He was never kicked out or, you know, guilty of these things. But here's the problem. Let's say that the accusers are telling the truth. For him to get up and say, I did that, I'm guilty of that. Yes, Americans could forgive, but that meant you've been lying to us. That meant you've been a hypocrite. Look, my testimony is public. I was shooting heroin and using LSD as a teenager. Came to faith at the age of 16. You know, someone else, they were porn addicts. Someone else, they were thieves. Someone else, they were prostitutes. They come forward, they share their story. Everybody knows it, and you go on from there. In this case, this would be a secret past that he's continued to hide up until now. That's what makes it more damning. Mm. And for him to have been in the legal profession then and to have been guilty of those things, that would mean, again, a criminally prosecutable offense. That's what makes the whole thing so difficult. Not so easy to just say, yeah, I was guilty of that. For him to say, yeah, it's known. I dated younger ladies, you know, ladies in late teens, early 20s, when I was, you know, 10, 12 years older than them. That's known. That's no secret. But the other stuff is a lie. You know, we all have our critics, and there are people that love you, and there are people that hate you. And the people that hate you believe all kinds of evil things against you. And I have this with me all the time, and people get to know you, and they find out that's not true. Could it be the same with Roy Moore?
Yeah.
That's why we really have to pray, let the truth come to the light.
You know, I remember when I was lied about a few years ago in a Huffington Post piece and so forth. It was an awful experience. And I was talking with Matt Barber, and he had a situation where he was lied about in a Fortune 500 company and so forth. And, you know, we both kind of exchanged notes. And at the end of the day, it was sort of like, you know, maybe in the future, what we need to do is when you hear about some terrible accusation of a fellow Christian, maybe give him or her the benefit of the doubt until you can, you know, hear out the matter. But in the meantime, I see people, you know, essentially taking Roy Moore, you know, to the court and, you know, finding him guilty without even hearing his side of the matter.
Yeah, it's only natural that Mitch McConnell and Mitt Romney might do that because Roy Moore, someone like that, a staunch conservative, could be looked at as a threat.
Hey, let me stop you. Mitch McConnell, didn't he spend about $30 million to defeat Roy Moore?
Yeah, exactly.
In the Senate.
And according to Rush, Mitch McConnell was behind the charges coming forward, whether they're true or not. But when I was a fairly new believer, My dad was in a difficult situation. He was the senior law assistant in the New York Supreme Court, highly respected, widely loved, almost became a Supreme Court justice before he retired. And he got accused of some things falsely, and some minor things got totally exaggerated. And I remember he told me about some things, and the next thing I'm reading the newspaper with lies about my father. Mm. And ever since then, I've always wondered, okay, we're hearing the story, but is it accurate? And am I quick to condemn the people I don't like and quick to defend the people I do like? Or am I willing to be fair-minded with everyone? I've read every kind of accusation against Barack Obama. In the past, he was this. In the past, he was that. And he frequented gay bar. And who knows? I don't know. I didn't like his political agenda, but I'm not going to throw the man under the bus simply based on accusations. So let's do our best to be fair. You want to be fair-minded to the accusers, too. We don't want to
exactly
mock their plight.
I agree.
So we say, okay, let the truth come to light, and let us have a heart for righteousness. And, yes, let us show mercy to one another. Let us believe the best. If I hear a negative report about you as a colleague, I'm not going to believe it until it's verified. That's going to be my presumption of standing with you. And if we do that and then learn to help those that do mess up so that there is an environment where you can come forward and confess and have a place of restoration, I think we'd be a whole lot healthier as a church.
I totally agree. AskDrBrown.com.org?
.org.
Yeah, big difference between those two. The one gets to you and the other one doesn't. Okay, thank you, sir. God bless you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.